Good morning. My name is Ashley, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Report on Public Finances and Public Debt for the first quarter of 2010. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. I would now like to turn today's conference over to Miguel Messmacher. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is Miguel Messmacher. I'll go over briefly over the results for economic activity and public finances and then turn on to Gerardo Rodriguez, who will discuss the main results in terms of public debt. Let me remind our friends of the press that this call is off the record. Going over the main macro developments in the first quarter of the year, as all of you know, in general, we continue to observe signs of economic recovery, an ongoing economic recovery that started in the second half of last year. Most of you know the major results, so I will only highlight some of the key topics and key results which are not reported as such in the first quarter report. When you actually look at the accumulated growth during the first quarter of the year from the point of view of external demand, again, the evolution has been highly favorable with cumulative monthly growth in the period December to March of 8% in manufacturing exports and of 16.1% in imports of intermediate goods, which suggests that we continue to progress with the inventory adjustment process that had started since the second half of last year. In terms of domestic sales, even though they are lagging somewhat with respect to the recovery in external demand, ANTAF sales grew by 0.5% cumulative growth from December to March, and Walmart sales grew by 1% again in the period December to March. The evolution of employment has been very favorable during the first quarter of the year, with cumulative monthly growth of 1.4%, which coincides with growth in original series of employment in terms of 289,000 jobs during the first quarter of the year. So overall, what we're observing is a relatively strong recovery that's being driven by external demand mostly during the first quarter of the year. We're already starting to see some increase in the dynamism of domestic demand, though clearly with a lag with respect to the recovery in external demand. The combination of these different factors has led us to forecast growth of close to 4% during the first quarter of this year in real annual terms. Going over the main results for public finances, there are three major points that I would like to emphasize with respect to the results in the first quarter. First, the public balance recorded a surplus that is consistent with the approved budget deficit for the year. Second, public sector budgetary revenues were 8% higher in real terms than the ones registered in the same period of last year, both due to higher oil and non-oil tax revenues. And third, in terms of public expenditures, several measures of rationality and savings have been applied, and this is actually explaining an important contention in terms of growth rates of expenditures during this year. Overall, public finances recorded a surplus of 11.3 billion pesos, which, as I mentioned, is consistent with the approved budget deficit for the year, and which compares favorably with an observed deficit of 38.3 billion pesos in the same period of last year. If we exclude Pemex's investment, the public surplus was 71.9 billion, which is higher by almost 60 billion pesos with respect to the same period of last year. As I mentioned, public sector budgetary revenues were 8% higher in real terms than the ones registered in the first quarter of last year. Oil revenues were 17.7% higher, and non-oil tax revenues were 10.2% higher. If we compare with respect to the original program, what we observe is that programmed revenues were higher, observed revenues were higher than those in the program by 9.7 billion pesos. From the point of view of expenditures, the overall amount was 0.3% higher in real terms than the one registered in the same period of last year. Programmable expenditures, though, were actually 1.7% lower in real annual terms, And this is a result of a combination of two factors. A first factor was, if you remember, during 2009, we actually accelerated significantly the expenditures calendar as part of the countercyclical measures that were announced for that year. This actually implies that the base of comparison for 2009 was a typically high during and will be a typically high during the first half of the year. A second element, which is very important, is that there has been a very significant effort to contain increases in personnel services, which are actually declining by 3.6% in real annual terms with respect to last year. And in particular, personnel services of the federal government actually declined by 4.3% in real annual terms. With that, let me turn over to Gerardo. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Miguel. With regards to public debt evolution during the quarter, I would just briefly comment that the government was able to advance its strategy of going back to the issuance pattern domestically, to the issuance pattern that the government used to have prior to the crisis. Much improved market conditions, both locally and externally, allow the government to move forward in the strategy that was outlined in its annual borrowing program. With regards to external debt, the government also took advantage of favorable market conditions to establish a new 10-year benchmark in the dollar market, and then retapping that for both transactions achieving $2 billion. Dollars, and by the end of the quarter, the government has done two-thirds of its gross financing program externally that was established in the annual borrowing program. What the government is trying to do externally is move fast in its primary objective of achieving the refinancing amounts for the year, so that we have more leeway in the remainder of the year to concentrate in achieving the development of other alternative sources of funding away from the dollar, away from the dollar market, and also looking into the 2011 external borrowing strategy. Also, I would like to highlight in the domestic issuance strategy, I would like to mention the introduction of the syndication processes. We ran two different processes for the 10-year bono and the 30-year UDI bono. The idea behind this strategy is to enhance the development of new benchmarks by issuing the inaugural issuance of these new benchmarks through a syndication that allows for a broader distribution and a larger issuance amount. Originally, this certainly improves the price action process of these instruments since the beginning of their life and makes them eligible for inclusion in global fixed income indices also from the very beginning of their existence. This has contributed further to continue increasing the average life of our domestic debt. During the quarter, it went from 6.34 years to 6.43 years. That implies that we are already above the OECD median in terms of domestic average life of domestic debt. And also, with regards to the outstanding debt of the government and the public sector, the government stood at 24.9 points of GDP, which is half a point of GDP higher than the level observed at the end of 2009. And also for the public sector as a whole, the same figure stood at 30.3 points of GDP, which implies an increase of 0.2 percentage points of GDP with respect to the end of the last year. Finally, in terms of the historical balance of public sector borrowing requirements, the figure stood at 35.3 points of GDP, which is half a percentage point of GDP higher than the level observed in the previous at the end of the previous quarter. So the overall evolution of the stock of the different indicators of public debt basically were in line with the plan on public finances and of public debt. So with that, we conclude the introductory remarks, and we can move to the question and answer section. Thank you.
At this time, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And we have a question on the line with Leopoldo Pimento with GPM Securities. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Gerardo and Miguel, for hosting this conference. Three questions here. Talking about your GDP estimate, could you explain more about what do you mean about the expression approximately? If you consider or raise and moderate numbers in consumer spending so far in the year, and the fact that INEGI numbers released by INEGI average at 2.9 increase in the first 2 months of the year. Second question, is there a particular reason of why tax on cash deposits fell over 47% regardless of the medications to this tax included? And the last one is for Gerardo, I think. Could you provide us with more guidance of what kind of medications the Treasury introduced to the balance of bank accounts this February? Thank you.
Sure. Regarding our annual estimates for growth, I mean, we typically do not give a range, and that's the difference that we have with respect to Banco de Mexico, for example. And obviously, for budgetary reasons, when we actually have to present a budget and present our numbers to Congress, we typically have to state a precise forecast in that sense. So that actually forces us, and that's an important difference in terms of how we report our numbers with respect to how they report them in Banco de Mexico. So when we mention a growth rate of close to 4%, that actually means that our point estimate is 4%, but obviously there is a certain margin of error around those numbers. Now, as I was mentioning, a lot of the recovery that we observed, I mean, in a sense, if you look at the pattern of the recovery, in the third quarter of last year, it was sort of mixed in terms of a strong rebound in services once the worst effects from the influenza were over, together with a starting recovery in manufacturing. In the fourth quarter of the year, we returned to what is a more typical pattern of recovery in terms of business cycles driven by the external sector, where the manufacturing sector was basically driving in a very strong way the recovery during the fourth quarter of the year. In the first quarter, what we're observing is that the impulse arising from external demand continues to be quite strong, and we're starting to see some gradual recovery in consumption, which we actually would expect should accelerate as the year progresses. If you typically see theories in Mexico, for example, in the last couple of recessions, what you will find is that typically, you need to observe an important recovery both in terms of labor markets and employment and in terms of lower unemployment rates before consumer confidence recovers and you start to observe a more significant recovery in domestic consumption patterns. Fortunately, we're already quite advanced in terms of the recovery in employment. Clearly, the levels of employment are still below the maximums observed in 2008, but the change in trajectory has been quite significant, and we've observed a decline in the unemployment rate from its high in September to its level in February of more than 1 percentage point, about 1.2 percentage points when you look at the seasonally adjusted data, slightly larger than that actually when you look at the original data. So on the basis of that and some recovery in credit to consumption, which commercial banks have told us will be increasing during 2010 by close to 9% in real annual terms, we're expecting to see a gradual acceleration in terms of consumption as the year is progressing. Now, in terms of the particular results for sort of the tax on cash deposits, what we typically tend to look at is at the combination of income taxes of Yetu and of the tax on cash deposits. Given that firms typically can play with these three components and then can credit the different types of taxes against one another, and that can sometimes lead to misleading results when you look at one particular and individual component of these taxes. When you look at the aggregate combination of income taxes, Yetu and Dive, what you actually observe is that total tax collection is from these three components, income tax, the Yetu and the Dive, what you see is that collection is about 9 billion pesos above program, which implies actually that we're almost 5% above program in terms of these three components, and that the annual growth rate in these three components was 6.1% in real annual terms. With that, let me turn over to Gerardo.
I wonder if you could repeat the question, the third one, because we couldn't hear it very well.
Yeah, sure. Could you provide us with more guidance of what kind of modifications the Treasury introduced to the balance of bank accounts this February? I think I'm referring to the page number 12 on the public finance report and the chart or on the table federal government debt as of March. One of the notes behind this table that mentions that the net debt balance differ from those published in the public finance and public debt report from fourth quarter of 2009 due to modification of the balance of bank accounts as of December 2009.
Okay, we're gonna dig into that number and so that we can proceed to the next question and perhaps we can go back to this answer in a minute. Thank you.
And again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And there are no further questions in queue at this time.
Yes, perhaps we can address the prior question. The answer only relates to, say, reconciliation of bank accounts at the level of the federal government and the public sector. It doesn't have to do with any change, say, in the criteria or in the regulatory framework around which the numbers for public debt are released. It is just an issue that after, say, the end of the year, there are some reconciliations of bank accounts that may, say, show some different numbers than the prior reports. But it is just a minor, say, accounting issue going on here.
And there are no further questions in the queue at this time.
Operator, can we just ask if there are any last questions, please?
And again, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one to ask a question. And we do have a question on the line of Pedro Tuesta with Forecast. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning. How are you? It seems, can I ask a question about, you know, going forward? What about the increases in gas prices? Do you have any idea when that's going to stop or how close you are to stop the increases?
Yeah, I mean it's difficult to actually make a specific projection in the sense that as you know and we've discussed previously. Both in these conference calls and when the economic package for 2010 was discussed. What we're basically going to be taking into account for public price policies, and this obviously applies to gasoline prices, is to take into account both expected inflation as well as the opportunity cost of gasoline prices internationally, with the idea that we want to actually limit the amount of any type of subsidy associated with gasoline prices, and we want to have domestic prices that are better aligned with international prices. So In that respect, it's difficult to make any type of precise forecast in the sense that both international prices and the exchange rate have been moving all the time. So basically, the process going forward is that we'll continue to evaluate how the opportunity cost of gasoline prices moves going forward, taking into account all of these different elements. And that will be what is mainly driving the adjustment in gasoline prices going forward.
And again, that's star one to ask a question at this time. We have a question on the line of Paulo Lemaire with Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, thank you, Gerardo Miguel, and good morning. Just a quick question, just if you could give us an update in terms of any progress in discussing with Congress this year, new fiscal reforms, and what progress can be made in the rest of this year. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the question, Paulo. Basically, we've continued to discuss with congressmen in a relatively informal way about different possibilities for tax changes. Clearly, our perception is that there is an important scope to continue trying to improve the structure of taxes in Mexico, clearly trying to widen the base. Now, obviously, our perception is that whatever type of reform we have to do has to be at least revenue neutral and ideally should actually allow for a slight increase in non-oil tax revenues to GDP, and that's where we still do not have any major type of consensus. From the point of view of the Ministry of Finance, we're open to discussing all different alternatives with congressmen, and they continue to be interested, but probably we will not be seeing a specific proposal until the time when the budget is actually presented to Congress in September.
Thank you very much.
And there are no further questions in queue at this time.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. And as you know, whatever additional questions or concerns you have, please let us know at the Investors Relations Office.
And this does conclude today's conference call. You may now disconnect.